It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Space Floor NBA Podcast. My name is Connor Gielan.
And I'm Connor Flannery.
This is our 27th official episode. Today we're going to be going through the East and the West and trying to figure out who's really a contender for the NBA Finals and who's just a pretender, who's not really all of that.
Pretender.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about which teams might be having better regular seasons or worse regular seasons than their playoff performances will actually, I guess, suggest that
and
they would have.
What we mean by contender is, do they have a strong chance or just a legitimate stake in getting to the Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals? Mm-hmm. Would you say that?
So, yeah. So, like, a team that makes it to the second round doesn't make them a contender. We're talking about the teams that legitimately, like, could go out there and beat the Warriors. Because I think that right now, the Warriors are the team to beat. But, you know, and even though that doesn't mean, like, we're like the Warriors, I think it's like pretty much the Warriors would have to beat themselves. But these teams are the only, or like the ones that really have a chance of making it to the finals, of making it to the conference finals, and like really making a push for the championship itself. Whereas there's a lot of teams, I think, that are still kind of in the playoff race,
but
that
they're,
really,
they're not
gonna
do anything.
Really have a chance of getting any further than like the second round or something.
Yeah. All right, so let's start. I want to start with the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. So starting with the top of the Eastern Conference, obviously the Milwaukee Bucks. And I guess it's sort of hard to come up with reasons why the Milwaukee Bucks aren't a contender, because I think that like right off the bat we would say that they are. And they've already clinched their spot in the playoffs. But I think that we could see them, because they're so much better this season than they were last season, they're sort of like lack, I guess, of playoff experience in playing with like how good they are right now and being like the one seed might sort of catch up to them this season, where like they don't really know how to handle that.
I'm also just thinking Giannis has never won a playoff series.
Yeah. Which that's sort of what I mean.
It's yeah, like this Bucks team has never won a playoff series, and they lost to a team last year in the Kyrie-less, Gordon Hayward-less Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
That they really should have beaten. And I understand it's completely a different team this year, different
yeah.
coach. But still, you don't have that sort of kind of like experience, whereas you're going to have like a second round game and it's like a game five on the road, or you know, game six on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the last 5 minutes of the game. Are you going to have that kind of just sort of clutch calmness that you see with maybe different teams around the league? Like,
yeah.
Even like the Celtics or the 76ers, and just like going out and taking that win and just having that playoff experience in the big moment.
Yeah.
I would say still yes, because I think this team has just played so superior.
They've been so good this season that it's impossible to say they're not a contender.
Yeah.
You know, they would really have to fall off a cliff to not make the Eastern Conference Finals
and maybe the finals.
Do you
think they're title contenders? Finals contenders.
If they're by saying that they're contenders, I think that that means that they're finals contenders.
But I'm saying,
but
okay, would you put them as like the one or two favorites in the East?
I am very willing to put my money on them making the Eastern Conference Finals. When it gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're sort of, I guess, I think the lack of playoff experience is sort of like overvalued, but the way that they've gotten so much better basically in the last season means that I think that like when they've been great this regular season, but by the time they get to the playoffs, I think that like it might start to catch up to them. Not like 100% it will, but it might start to catch up of like, wait, we don't know what to do being the one seed. You know, we won all these games in the regular season, but like, what do you actually do now that you're the best team in a conference? So it's hard for me to say. I think that they're my favorite to win the East, and I still would have them losing in the finals. But
so that's a yes.
You should never count the Bucks out.
Out of what?
Out of like they could win the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're on the yes.
Yes, they're a playoff contender. Yes, they're a finals contender.
They're a finals favorite.
I don't think they're a top two favorite, I think.
You just said you had them winning the East.
I have them winning the East. I don't have them winning the finals.
Yeah, the East.
Yeah. So okay. They're my favorite to win the East.
Okay. I would say they're not my favorite just because I look at this roster and they have, like, two guys that can create their own shot. Like, maybe if Eric Bledsoe is playing well or maybe if Malcolm Brogdon is playing well. But historically, we've seen that Eric Bledsoe in the playoffs kind of sucks. And also that, like, Malcolm Brogdon, while he's, like, really efficient, he's not a high-volume player. Mm-hmm. So I would say that outside of Giannis and Chris Middleton has started to create his own shot this year, I feel like they, like, don't have that guy. They don't have a bunch of guys to where, like, oh, if Giannis is having an off night, you can just kind of give it to someone else and they can go get a bucket. Because, like, in the playoffs, it's a totally different scenario, as we'll see with, like, a bunch of other teams that we're going to be talking about. It's very important that that your opposing team has seven games to only focus on you.
Yeah.
And to focus how to defeat the Milwaukee Bucks, how to try to stop Giannis, who could be most affected by that because his whole thing is he's just been kind of, like, unstoppable.
But I think that, like, part of what's different about the Milwaukee Bucks is, like, when you compare them to, I guess, like, the Houston Rockets, right, who kind of have, like, one guy that creates their own shot, and that's James Harden. They live and die by the three, and they live and die by James Harden. Whereas I think that, like, Giannis, if Giannis has a bit of an off night, it doesn't really affect the Bucks as much because how do you really have, like, a terrible night from 2 feet away from the basket? You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
James Harden could have a night where he goes 2 for 15 for three.
I'm saying, and like that ruins the Bucks. Also, shoots one of the most threes in the NBA.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, even though they shoot some of the most threes in the NBA, their leading scorer doesn't shoot threes. So if they're having an off night from three, then Giannis is going to be playing bully ball inside because what one person can stop them, you know? And obviously, Kawhi Leonard one on one, I don't think could stop
Jimmy Butler.
None of them one on one. I don't think can completely shut down Giannis. Can you slow him down? Yes, but that requires a whole team, and that leaves your shooters open.
I think, like, the people in the East, you have two of the best, what, like, four, three-star defenders in the league in Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler at the wing position. I'm saying if there's, like, a team that's kind of built to take down these two, they might be, like, the 76ers and the Raptors, just because they have dudes who are well-equipped to stop Giannis or slow him down significantly.
Yeah, but I still don't think, like, even just, like, the height difference alone. Giannis is, like, 7 feet tall. Kawhi is 6'7". Like,
Kawhi's not 6'7".
Yes, he is.
Okay, continue talking.
Yeah, but just that height difference alone, like, that's basically like a center being guarded by a small forward, except, like, that
what?
Center. Yes. Kawhi Leonard is, like, kind of undersized. Seven.
Okay, that's crazy. Continue talking.
Yeah, so, like, yes, Kawhi Leonard is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league right now, if not the best perimeter defender in the league right now. Giannis scores, like, so much around the basket and is, like, so hard to stop inside that, like, is it even really perimeter defense to a point? Like, if you put a post defender on him, Giannis is going to walk right by him, you know?
Yeah, that's
They're true. Just not quick enough. And, like, if you put Kawhi on him, like, how does Kawhi stop Giannis inside? I think it's very hard to stop him with one guy.
The thing is, I feel like the perfect team to kind of outmatch up with the Bucks, in my mind, is kind of OKC because they have the two things that help stop Giannis. They have a very good, athletic, tall wing defender in Paul George.
Yeah.
And they have a phenomenal rim protector in Steven Adams. Plus, they play good team defense where each one steps in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was a little bit of a tangent, but I feel like the Raptors and to a lesser extent, maybe the 76ers are like very built similarly to OKC, which is why I'm just
all right. Let's move on to the Raptors.
Yeah.
I think that, like, yes, like you said, the Raptors are very well equipped to stop Giannis, like, as a team. But, like,
I mean, given they don't have that rim protection.
Marcus Gasol, like, I think Marc Gasol is more of a, like, paint protector, really, than a rim protector. Like, Marc Gasol is a big body inside.
You could put Pascal Siakam on him.
That's true. Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I mean, no, you kind of put Kawhi Leonard on it, but I'm saying like.
But then them two sharing the load means that at all times Giannis will have a fantastic defender on him who is very capable of slowing him down.
Even throwing OG Anunoby there. Yeah. They have like three very athletic dudes. Yes. And also I think Pascal Siakam, this is a really weird thing to say, but I feel like he seems like such a good team defender. Like in terms of like Pascal Siakam, like he's so long and athletic that like if he just steps in, it's kind of like it throws you off.
Yeah. And I think honestly like although this Raptors team has sort of changed a lot as of like this season, I think that they sort of have like the least questions going into this playoffs sort of out of these top Eastern Conference teams.
I agree.
The biggest thing for them is like, will Kyle Lowry kind of break that expectation of like choking in the playoffs that he kind of has now based on the last handful of seasons?
I think so, because he's built his game this season more around passing than shot making. So just like you're saying, like, oh, you can't have a bad night from 2 feet away at the rim. I don't think you necessarily have a bad night when you're building your game off of getting 9 assists.
That's fair. Yeah. So that I think that's just like the biggest thing is like, will if every one of these guys keeps playing the way that they've played through the regular season, like this team is very consistent.
However, the one weakness that I do see is the same thing that I was talking about with the Bucks. I think they really only have like 1.5, like maybe 2 shot creators on their team. They have Kawhi Leonard and maybe Kyle Lowry and maybe Pascal Siakam, but I think those two last guys could definitely get weakened in the playoffs as teams game plan for them, to where that would be definitely my biggest concern in the playoffs. Is Kawhi Leonard going to have to like... The thing is, with the playoffs, pace kind of slows down and there's more isolations and more pick and rolls and teams just kind of bring out the other's biggest weakness. And I feel like with all that Kawhi Leonard isoing, I feel like if he has a bad night, who's going to be that guy to go and still get you points?
Like we said with Kyle Lowry and his reputation of choking in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be Kyle Lowry. And that might be like while Kyle Lowry hasn't had to do that this regular season, if teams really focus in on Kawhi Leonard and force Kyle Lowry to do that, I'm not sure that he can in the playoffs. So let's move on to the third seed, Indiana Pacers.
They're not
kind of shocking. Like it, honestly, it's amazing that they've even like survived this far as one of the top seeds in the East without Oladipo. But it's very very hard to see them continuing this level of play like without Oladipo. I mean, honestly, even with Oladipo, their star power probably isn't really enough to match up with these guys. But without Oladipo, like, I guess I'm not sure.
Even with Oladipo, they would still be a pretender, in my opinion. Just because they're built for regular season basketball. Just like the Atlanta Hawks in, like, 2013.
What about them means that they're, like, built for that?
Like, what characteristics? They only have one shot creator. And while they play really good team defense and they have a lot of ball movement in the playoffs, in the playoffs there's more situations where you just don't get a shot. And the games are closer as well. So, like, on the last few possessions of the game, you're not going to be running a motion offense. That's not how the NBA works. Things, like, slow down, and you get the ball into your best player's hands, and he gets the best shot that he can. You don't run, like, 3 off-ball screens, unless you're, like, the 76ers getting J.J. Redick open. But you don't run, like, 3 or 4 off-ball screens for Bojan Bogdanovic, and then, like, he kicks it out to, like, Tyreek Evans or whatever. Like... I just don't see that happening in the playoffs. I think they would be a fun team to watch in the playoffs, but they're a pretender in my book.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's if they come up against sort of like one of these, like if let's say they fall to the 4 seed and the Celtics are the 5 seed, that should they really do not have much of a chance. So I honestly think like. There's a very decent chance that they don't make it past the first round. And if they make it to the second round, they're definitely not making it past the second round. So, pretender.
Pretender.
Philly. I think that, like, really on paper, this might be the most stacked team in the East. Like, at least their starting lineup. But we saw sort of, we've talked a lot about the way that teams can sort of game plan for the 70 for any any one team for like a 7-game series. Last year the game plan was like just let Ben Simmons shoot, and if you're doing that, like if that problem really hasn't been solved, I don't think, for the Sixers. Like, teams can still sag off Ben Simmons. And now while they've got four fantastic scorers around him, it still doesn't really solve that problem. So I think that might be a major flaw in this team.
That could get exposed like it did last year.
Yeah, and like you still see in warm-ups like, oh, here's Ben Simmons making a three, and he's taken a couple in-game. But I don't think he's really proven to the league or proven to himself that he can consistently really like knock down that shot.
Also, I'm looking at their roster right now, and they have four very good defenders in Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. But outside of that, because I was looking at Mike Scott, and I was remembering how he kind of blew the cover on Zach LaVine. And Zach LaVine scored a buzzer beater off of them when Zach LaVine passed it inbounds and then got a dribble handoff. And then just him and Jimmy Butler, Mike Scott and Jimmy Butler, just both went the wrong way, and they just blew the game. And I was thinking, like, I don't want Mike Scott on the court in the playoffs on defense in big-time moments. You don't really want J.J. Redick because he's just kind of a liability just based off of athleticism alone. Boban is a no. TJ is a good team defender, but I don't know about, like, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah Bolden?
TJ is going to give 100% effort.
Okay, but I feel like that almost doesn't matter if you're in the playoffs because, like in the last, like, minute of the game or something like that. Because if it's a switch and you get like Kawhi Leonard on it, it's barbecue chicken. And I don't see that many good defenders on this roster. I'm not even sure of the top four.
I'm not even sure Tobias Harris is like that great of a defender.
He's a pretty good defender.
He's solid. But my point is like he's not an elite defender by any means.
But like you don't need elite defenders. The Indiana Pacers don't have elite defenders. They just have like 10
Miles Turner, I think you consider a pretty elite defender.
Okay, but they have like 6 Tobias Harris's and then two good defensive players.
Yeah.
I think they could have defensive trouble. I think they're going to have to figure it out offensively in the playoffs with like who's getting the ices at the end of the game, whether it's Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid. And if that's the case, are you just going to have Ben Simmons standing in the corner because he's pretty useless like that?
Yeah.
To where
and if he's really standing in the corner, like again, they can help off of him, and it just creates like a 4-on-5 scenario if Ben Simmons doesn't have the ball in his hands. But I think that they definitely have to, with all the changes they've made, they've got to kind of find their scoring balance and their balance as a team offensively.
And this is a lot of pressure for the 76ers. If they don't get out of the second round with trading for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in the same season, that looks pretty bad for Elton Brand, the general manager.
I'd say so.
Good luck to him to keep his job.
I don't know. I doubt that they'd fire him like right after that. Like just based off that alone.
But, yeah.
Because, I mean, he did set up a pretty great roster, but like...
Except also, we'll see if they fit well together. They have no bench. They don't have a bench. Their bench is J.J. Redick, Boban...
Well, J.J. Redick's going to start.
Oh, right? Sorry. Yeah. T.J. McConnell. Whoops. Boban. Zaire Smith isn't healthy. You have, like, Jonathan Simmons, James
Ennis. Jonathan Simmons is actually a solid defender off the bench, right?
Yeah. James Ennis. Like, who else is really there? Like, Amir Johnson might get minutes. What's really happening here?
And let's get to the Celtics, too. We talked about in our last episode. Go check it out. We titled it, like, Why the Celtics Suck, or Why the Lakers Suck. And we'll see if that continues in the playoffs. But, like, this is part of the reason, like, the Celtics have some of the most questions of any team in the league right now. Because this was really supposed to be the favorite to win the East heading into the season. And right now they're sitting at the 5th seed.
Oh, by the way, did we say Philadelphia contender or pretender?
I'm going to go with contender.
Same.
I think that I'd still take Milwaukee and Toronto as like to win the East over them. But they'd be number 3.
Yeah, okay.
And then I'd go with Boston number 4 as of now, I think. Because...
Okay. I have them maybe top 2. It's hard because the East is really good.
Yeah.
But for me, I think Boston is like a heavy contender. Because I really believe that the Celtics are going to be able to pull it together based off of playoff experience.
Yeah.
You have like a bunch of guys who are... I wouldn't call them veterans because I wouldn't call guys like Marcus Smart a veteran. But they're very experienced. Like, and they've been in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, they're young veterans. Like, yeah, they're veterans of experience. Yeah, Kyrie's won a championship already.
I know, but I'm saying, like, he's also, like, 26. They have a bunch of, like, young-ish guys with a lot of playoff experience. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, and Gordon Hayward too, I believe that they can all just kind of come together, know what they're doing, and it'll all just click like that.
You'd hope so, but sort of the quote that haunts me is Marcus Morris saying, this is a group of individuals, not a team. Like,
Marcus Morris also said like a week ago that Boston, don't worry, I promise we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, they need to, but I'm not sure it's as simple as just snapping your fingers when the playoffs come around.
That's what the playoffs are for, though. So
the playoffs are for snapping your fingers and figuring it out.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you'd hope that by the playoffs that would happen, but like,
it's gonna happen.
It's a little bit late after 82 games to just happen. Like decide we're a team.
I'm the one who said the Celtics suck, but I also think the Celtics are going to be good in the playoffs.
I agree, but I agree the Celtics are being good in the playoffs. I think it's too late though. I don't think that like they'll have enough unity to beat any of these teams. Is my point.
Okay, cool.
Because like the other teams have had an entire season to figure it out.
Okay. I think we're done with the Eastern Conference. There are only really like five relevant teams. If you go through the other teams, like the Pistons, the Magic, the Nets,
those guys are pretenders.
Yeah, like, they're just straight. They're up. Not even pretenders, just because like no one considers them that.
Detroit Pistons only have big men. Brooklyn Nets are being led by D'Angelo Russell, who like is solid, but he's also
like, he's not a best player on a contender yet.
Yeah, Miami Heat. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. Like, who's their guy? I don't know.
No. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. And beyond that, yeah.
Western Conference. Let's start from the top. Golden State Warriors. Duh. Contender. Next.
One of the best teams ever.
Next. Next.
You know?
Yeah, next. And DeMarcus Cousins looks pretty freaking decent.
Yeah. Like I said before, like, they would really have to beat themselves. Clay said at the beginning of the season, like,
and they're having fun too.
Their locker room struggles and their like or disagreements and like worries about what's going to happen for next season would be the only reason that they would lose the championship, I think.
Yeah, and
they would really have to beat themselves.
They kind of clapped the 2-seed Denver Nuggets yesterday.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, Denver Nuggets, contender or pretender?
It's tough. I'm going to go, even though they're the 2-seed, even though they've been fantastic this regular season, I'm going to go pretender.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Their injuries and their, I guess, lack of experience. Just, again, sort of like the same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks of like how much better they've gotten this season. Makes me think like they've got some serious like catching up to do. And I just don't think that this season is their season.
They have some catching up to do in terms of being
catching up in terms of like they just sort of stepped into this role as like the second seed in the West. So like how do you go from, let's see, were they?
No, they weren't in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so how do you go from not being in the playoffs last year to being the second seed?
How do you go from,
and like,
how do you go from losing to the Celtics in the first round to being the first seed with the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think a lot more has changed with that team than has changed
with the Nuggets.
With the Nuggets, though.
Okay. I would say internal growth is a very big thing,
yeah.
Especially with Jamal Murray and somehow Mike Malone just being a good coach now.
Yeah. But my point is, like, I think that internal growth will continue, and next year they'll be better than they are this year. And I think that internal growth isn't really, their internal growth hasn't been enough to make the difference between not making the playoffs and being, you know, like real contenders. So as good as they've been as a regular season team, to me this team, I don't see them. If they make the Western Conference Finals, they're not going to win the Western Conference Finals. Whereas, like,
okay, that's not what a contender is. We're saying make the Western Conference Finals.
Make the Western Conference Finals. Do they have a chance? Yes. Okay. Are they going to? My money's on no.
Okay, I'm saying. Okay, so dude, you like, if you think they could definitely make the Western Conference Finals, they're a contender. That's what we're talking about.
But that's a chance. My point is, like, I will take probably at like three of these teams in the West over them.
Okay, so you're saying pretender. I'm saying
at least two.
If you brought up injuries, but you have Jamal Murray playing 58 games. Teams have played like 65 games right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jamal Murray who's played 59 games. You have Paul Millsap who's played 54 games. And you have Gary Harris who's played 40. He's struggled a little bit with
injury. Yeah, that's Gary Harris is like who I was talking about.
Okay, but I think that can come together, especially if Mike Malone makes pretty decent adjustments in the playoffs, like in-game adjustments, mm-hmm. and Nikola Jokic kind of holds up on defense, which he kind of has.
That's also part of it, is like, he has held up on defense, but if you're just running a pick and roll over and over again against, like, I don't know, like, with, against the Thunder, like against the Warriors.
I feel like you can say that about anyone, though, because, like, Rudy Gobert has, like, gets cooked on the perimeter in the playoffs, but they still play him.
Yeah, but Rudy Gobert is also an elite defender, and Nikola Jokic is just not that.
Yeah,
you know, like the plus minus then on Rudy Gobert is still like sky high.
Yeah,
even with those occasional like getting burnt. So yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the Houston Rockets. I would say hard contender, like hard contender. Really? Yes,
I'm gonna go with pretender.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I've really only got two contenders in the West.
Okay, fine. Go. Tell me why, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
I don't... Yeah, I made the argument for Harden for MVP. Giannis is going to win MVP. But, Giannis is still going to win MVP. Like, Harden, I think, you could make the argument has been MVP, like, up until, you know, like, a certain point this season. But, like... I just don't think that this style of play that the Rockets are playing will hold up.
It's the same thing that happened last year.
I think this team this year is worse than they were last year around James Harden.
Why? Just because they're relying on him more, or does that like Chris Paul's a little bit worse?
Chris Paul's a lot worse.
I mean, when James Harden hasn't played, Chris Paul has been looking pretty decent.
How many games has James Harden missed? Like, not very many. That's a very small sample size. Chris Paul has not had a very good season, and I don't think that, like, he's getting any better with age. I don't know. Watching this team...
15-8?
Like, this team was as close as anybody got to beating the Warriors last year. I don't think they have a shot of even going to 7 games against the Warriors this year.
Okay.
So, like, just not, looking not at that means... Not many
teams do. I would say that... If I was going to pick a team to get to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, I would choose the Houston Rockets.
Really?
Yes.
Over the Thunder?
Yes, over the Thunder. I just think they're just...
Yeah.
They just play better, man.
They play better than the Thunder?
It's, like, especially after
they're
the first...
They're a fantastic regular season
Especially
team.
After
they're
the first,
fantastic.
Like, 20 games of the year, the they're Houston Rockets
fantastic.
Have been going on a tear.
I know. They're a fantastic regular season team, but, like...
Plus, James Harden
makes
shots. Russell Westbrook doesn't make shots.
At some point, James Harden is going to burn out. And like we were talking about with
it's so easy to say.
Like we were talking, I know, but it's true. It's so easy to say because like, how can any one person
he didn't
do
burn,
that
he
for
didn't,
an entire
he didn't really
season?
Burn out last year,
but he's working even harder this season.
Okay, but he won MVP last year. He was doing somewhat of the same thing.
But if you look at his, I don't have him in front of me, but like if you look at his usage numbers and his ratings and his minutes, they're definitely up, like somewhat significant.
Okay, so you're basing. The Houston Rockets, who almost beat the Warriors last year, to not make the Western Conference Finals this year, based on James Harden like just carrying somewhat of a bigger load when he won MVP last year,
I think
and he might not win it this year.
Here's my thought: they lost in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah,
because
they missed
like 27 threes,
and Chris Paul didn't play.
If anything, they rely more heavily on the three this year and more heavily on James Harden. So if you have one or two nights...
I don't think they rely more heavily on the three. I just think they rely more heavily on James Harden.
Who relies more heavily on the three than in like almost anybody in the league. So if you are missing... If like that is the difference... If CP3 hadn't gotten injured, they very well could have won that series. So that's another thing is like CP3 could get injured in the playoffs again, which would be devastating.
Okay, dude,
like,
you cannot be out here saying, oh yeah, my reason for not having them make the Western Conference is Chris Paul could get injured.
Yeah, that's not my reason.
Okay,
that's not
like
my
Giannis
reasoning.
Could get injured.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not my reason. But also like Chris Paul gets injured like every season, like for at least part of it. And he already has been injured this season. But if you rely that heavily on the three and like I just think that if James Harden has one off night or one or you know, like season like or sorry, series over. Like against a very good team, series over. So, I don't think they have any chance of beating the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm so
like,
astounded
zero.
By what James Harden has been doing.
Yeah.
I can't picture him not performing.
He will perform. But the problem is all you need is one game where he doesn't perform. Like, let's say it's an even series, right? And James Harden, but James Harden is, for three games, is lighting that team up. And for three games, like, the other team, like, is matching up. And then all it takes is one off game for James Harden. And that team, and the Houston Rockets will not be able to score. And the other team will have even a solid game and series over. And so I just think that that's like, it's relying that heavily on James Harden is bound to fail at some point.
Okay.
That's my problem.
Pretender, contender.
Yeah.
Okay, going on to the OKC Thunder, I would say contender as well. They're probably my third best team.
I have them as number two, I think.
Okay. To make the Western Conference Finals. I think they're a very well-built team. I think that Jeremy Grant could actually come up big if his jump shots continue to fall. However, my concern is if his don't fall and if Terrence Ferguson's don't fall and if Russell Westbrook's keep not falling, is the shooting going to be there in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's Paul George is going to have a hard carry.
The two problems I saw were they lost in the first round last year.
They did.
So the argument that I've been making of, like, it's hard to make a big jump, you know, like, you have to do some catching up, that would take a big jump, you know, and this is basically the same roster, so I'm kind of calling, like, a big jump, you know, a big change, but I think that there's...
I'm looking at the roster right now. I see two guys who I would pass to in the corner for an open three and be like, okay, that was a pretty good possession. Paul George and Terrence Ferguson. Not Russell Westbrook, not Andre Roberson, if they have him back, I don't know. Not Markieff Morris, even though that's a pretty decent pickup. Dennis Schroeder?
Yes.
Really?
A wide open three in the corner? Yeah. Even Markieff Morris? Yeah. Wide open three in the corner? Yeah.
I wouldn't really.
Patrick Patterson,
No, Patrick Patterson is not good.
But a wide open three in the corner? Okay, isn't that like all he can do?
Not even. He hasn't really been shooting. Amadou Diallo, like, not really. And that's like, and Jeremy Grant, like, not necessarily. Because he's like fundamentally like not the best shooter, but he's just been having a good season this year.
But even Russell Westbrook, like wide open three in the corner, like he will shoot confidently.
He's shooting like 28% on the year.
But the thing is, he's not shooting 28% on like wide open corner threes. He's shooting 28% because it's
Russell Westbrook's not a good 3-point shooter.
Those numbers are severely
disfigured
by like
he's still not a good shooter. I don't care what you say.
By like him deciding like, oh, let me just come up and like I have a defender in my face, but let me just shoot over him. I don't know. I don't like watching Russell Westbrook play, but I do think that this team is a contender. So first round exit last year, and
Patrick Patterson's averaging 4 points a game. I don't know what you're talking about.
But like, what's he shooting from three?
He's shooting like 34%.
So that's like a wide open three.
On like two attempts a game. Like
wide open three in the corner.
He doesn't make one a game. He does not make one a game. I don't know what you're talking about.
But I also think that you could also make the argument that Russell Westbrook has like really handed over the reins to Paul George this season and sort of let him kind of run the offense and run the team as a whole and be the guy for the Thunder, and we've seen how well that has worked. And that's been probably the biggest season between this season and the biggest difference between this season and last season. I worry a little bit that Russell Westbrook might get to the playoffs and want the spotlight and want to be the hero and try to take some of that back.
Yeah, that will be very interesting. Also, just want to put it out here, Dennis Schroeder shooting 4.4 threes a game, which is decent sample size. He's shooting 33%. Like, that's, like, not that good. That's slightly below league average.
It's not above. I think it's, like, average, like 30.
Like, good is, like, 37.
That's very good.
On a high volume, that's very good. I would say 37, good 3-point shooter.
If you're shooting 4.4 threes a game and you're shooting 37%, that's very good.
Yeah.
That is, like, a solid 3-point shooter.
Fine. You can have, like, Dennis will be in the corner.
You'd be happy with that possession. Wide open Dennis in the corner.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see the shooting around this team. I think they're...
Yeah.
I think they have the tools to make it far. I don't know about the execution.
Yeah. And I also am not very confident in Billy Donovan as a coach. Like, this guy almost got fired at the end of last year. And, like, while he stepped it up, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Trailblazers?
We out.
Pretender.
Contender.
You think they're a contender?
We out.
Bruh.
Okay, like, A little bit. like they could be a contender. I'm backing my boy Charles Barkley, who is out here saying that they were going to the finals.
Wait, what?
Stop playing with us. Yeah, Charles Barkley said that.
You said that? You think they're going to the finals?
No, Charles Barkley.
You just said you're backing him, though.
Okay, no, I'm backing the support of Charles Barkley.
Okay.
I think that they could very well just go on this hot streak because no one's been talking about them. And if I had to put my trust into almost anyone in the NBA, it would be Damian Lillard in the playoffs. I swear, if you bring up last year...
I was about to say, the only thing I have to say to... as a counter argument, is they got swept by the Pelicans last year in the first round.
But like,
Damian Lillard's like
my second favorite player, so like I'm biased, right? But I hate when people saying that Damian Lillard isn't clutch, especially last year.
Damian Lillard is very clutch.
Okay, thank you.
But you also can't say like
I'm talking directly to the camera and to the microphone. Stop saying that Damian Lillard is not clutch. Everyone last year and over the past like 11 or 10 months have been talking about Damian Lillard choked. Damian Lillard's a choke artist. He's not good in the playoffs. That's literally what he's built his brand off of. That's what he's built his career off of. Just being clutch in the clutch moments. He got locked up by a first-team all-defensive player last year.
Drew Holiday,
When literally the opposing team's defense literally just... the game plan was, okay, let's stop Damian Lillard, and then everything else will fall into place because he has no help. That is the reason why he did not play well last year.
So here's my thing. Isn't that team and isn't that help exactly the same? So couldn't you just put another all defensive player on Damian Lillard and shut them down?
I think you have a bit more shooting this year, right? I think... You have internal development of Zach Collins, who has been shooting
like Zach Collins just like isn't playing anymore.
Enes Kanter, better offensive weapon.
He can't
Seth Curry can shoot. Rodney Hood can shoot. Zach Collins has improved his three pointer. Jake Layman is a good 3-point shooter.
How many of those guys are new? Seth Curry's not new. Rodney Hood is new.
Seth Curry is new.
He was on the team last year, wasn't he?
Don't think
so.
No,
he was on the Mavericks, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Seth Curry,
Enes Kanter can't shoot, so that's not shooting. Okay, Jake Layman is new.
He can shoot quite well.
Yes.
That's three good shooters plus Zach Collins.
Yeah. I don't think Zach Collins is going to play that much in the playoffs.
And this team has been pretty good on defense this year as well. They've the bodies to be good at defense. They have sort of the athleticism in Rodney Hood's not good.
But also, like, what you were saying about, like, shot creators, like, how many of those guys are creating their own shot? Like, the guys you just named?
That is the issue. That is the issue.
Like, Dame CJ, obviously, yes. Enes Kanter, like, on the low block, kind of. Seth Curry, kind of. Rodney Hood, kind of.
That's definitely this team's biggest flaw. But I think that they have a pretty good chance to just kind of like flip the switch like that. Just pull a Boston Celtics.
Have they really had like team problems to the point where they can like change something and they'll get better? Like, I think that you can make
the
that
five seed in a competitive West.
Yeah.
They're like two games away from the
seed. My point is
for
like
a reason.
The Pelicans were the Celtics were expected to be so much better, and there's a clear problem in the way that they're playing as a team and their chemistry as a team. So you could say, like, okay, if they fix their chemistry, they'll be so much better. But I don't think anybody's saying the Portland Trailblazers' chemistry is very bad. So, like, do they really have that much, like, ceiling to go reach just by, like, playing better as a team?
If Damian Lillard's on your team and he can just go out in a playoff game and get 50, that's a pretty high ceiling.
But he's not going to be able to do that every night, which is, like...
He does that in the regular season a freaking lot. Especially like when
50?
Especially when the team's not playing well. Like what? Like, oh, you have 45. Contender.
Pretender.
Stop playing with me.
So our definition of a contender, you said that you think they're gonna make the Western Conference Finals.
I think they very well could.
Okay, that's different than that.
I think they have a significant chance. They have a significant chance.
The thing is, I think the Denver Nuggets have a significant chance of making the Western Conference Finals, but I said they're a pretender because I don't think that they will. They have a significant chance, yes, but I don't think you would bet money on the Portland Trailblazers
making
the Western Conference
Finals. Okay, then you're only saying you have two contenders.
Yeah, I'm saying I have 2-3.
Okay, but in the East, you don't have 2-3.
In the East, here's my 2-3. Bucks, Raptors, Sixers. Boom. And that leaves out the Celtics. Okay. I think
the Blazers have a significant chance, and that's how.
But I think that the Blazers have a much smaller chance of making the Western Conference Finals than the Celtics.
That's the thing about the West. Sixers, the West has Raptors, been crazy Bucks, for 2 years. The West has been crazy for 2 years because there's almost no difference between the 3 seed and the 7 seed.
I think that there's less difference this year between Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, Celtics than between like the top teams in the West.
There's less.
I think that those four teams in the East all have very similar chances to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, but these are like teams that would be like phenomenal in the East: Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets, Houston Rockets, OKC, Portland Trail Blazers, Utah Jazz, and I'm gonna go out here and say it: the LA Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs would be a top 5 seed.
Nah, the San Antonio Spurs would still be below the four teams that we named and probably the Pacers.
They're 37-29. That's a slightly worse record than the Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
but they're playing somewhat tougher teams in the West.
I think that like the top four teams in the East, like I think that the difference between the West and the East is like smaller this year than it was last year, even with LeBron in the West.
Western Conference just has more excellence because the East has four very good teams.
The West has the single best team in the league, if not ever.
I would say they have like five teams who can match up with the four on the East. They have six teams who can match up with the four on the East.
If you look at the power rankings, like you would put Golden State Warriors number one. The next like three, for me at least, would be like Bucks, Raptors, Sixers. Like over Nuggets, Rockets, okay, Thunder.
Fine. I don't know how we got into this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think that's kind of it, right?
Yeah.
We covered the playoff race. We covered who are the contenders, who are the pretenders. Let us know down in the comments what you guys think.
Yeah.
Who's right about the Trailblazers, about what else we see? The Nuggets.
The Celtics. Yeah. And thank you for listening to this episode of Space the Floor NBA Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Follow us on Instagram at Space the Floor Podcast and on Twitter at Space the Floor. Links will be down below for that. And thank you for listening. My name is Connor Geelan.
And I'm Connor Flannery.
And see you next time.
Peace.